From Norway, we have Christian Nellemann on the line. He is the lead author of a new and worrying report from the United Nations. Well, I'm going to be frank with you. It hasn't received a lot of coverage yet in North America, and I think it's partly because of issues that you raised in your report, that people have difficulty understanding pollution and things that happen way out at sea. How can we get that past that problem and really communicate?
Well, I think that this is absolutely everything that relates to the world oceans is actually also of major interest, even to the U.S. And I think one of the, I mean, obviously everybody has a relationship with the ocean. I mean, all the fish that we, most of the fish that we eat comes from the ocean. And there's also an additional issue, and that is what happens to the environment also actually kicks back to the U.S. in many ways. Because the largest share of the world population live along the coast. And actually as many as 2.6 billion people get their primary protein. I mean, you can basically compare to the average person, McDonald's or Burger King is actually in the oceans. That's where people get their food from. And from that perspective, you know, any major change, and in this case, we're quite worried about the future of the world's fishing stocks. It's going to impact a very, very large portion of the world's people, particularly in developing countries.
Well, let's try and run through some of the top human-made problems working against marine life. And the first and most obvious are the polluting chemicals and the agricultural waste and even sewage we dump right into the sea. Is that really a big threat, considering the sea is so huge?
Well, that's a very good point. But even though the oceans cover like three-quarters of the planet, over half of the world's fish are actually caught in less than 7%. So it's only a tiny fraction of the world's oceans that we really catch most of our fish. And that was one of the causes of this investigation was we've always heard, I mean, bad environments and use of different salts. But usually, you know, problems solve themselves or get solved. But what has really is the case of what's happening now is a series of threats, including overfishing, button trawling, which is a special way of fishing that actually it's cuts deep into the seabed, but also coastal pollution. Now, 80% of all pollution in the ocean actually comes from land. So it's from sewage, from cities is actually one of the major pollutions, as well as agricultural runoff. Well, what basically happens is that when all this sewage runs into the to the sea, firstly acts as a fertilizer, and you get all this nasty green or even red algae in the oceans. I mean, it doesn't look like a place where you would like to go swimming. And unfortunately, most of this actually hits primarily in the main fishing grounds.
Well, your report also emphasizes important flushing mechanisms, the way the ocean recycles its own resources. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, actually, if we first consider these fishing grounds. Now, most of these fishing grounds around the world, including those off the coast of the United States, the fishing grounds are located quite close to the shores. Now, firstly, as we just talked about, one of the primary problems is a lot of the pollution goes right into the ocean. Quite often, it's not even hasn't been treated anyway. Well, what we've seen, in particular off the east coast of the United States, there's been a tremendous increase in the number of dead zones, which is basically because of all the sewage running in there. You basically get areas that become completely dead. There's no life, no fish, no nothing that can actually exist there. And obviously, when that happens, all the fish dies in that particular area. Well, what scientists have now discovered is the fact that one of the reasons why this hasn't gone much, much worse and increased to a much larger extent than what we've seen so far, and it is already pretty bad. We know the number of dead zones has increased from about 150 to over 200 in 4 or 5 years. So it's really increasing. But one of the primary problems of this is that there's a natural flushing mechanism. I mean, compare this actually to basically what happens is that during cold winters, we get an exceptionally cold winter, as we've always had in the past. The water, shallow water, seawater, it cools down and just sinks down so fast, it actually digs out entire canyons, comparable, I mean, to the Grand Canyon of the U.S., because the water cools down so fast and the currents become so strong, and it actually flushes out all the pollution from the coastal shores. It has two effects. Firstly, it cleans up our polluted shores, and it's a completely natural effect. Secondly, it brings all of these nutrients out to deep water, and that actually provides food and nutrients to a lot of the fish stocks. So it serves in two ways. First, this flushing effect cleans out the polluted waters. Secondly, it helps boost even over-harvested fish populations. The problem is that this mechanism, and it's a crucial part of all the primary fishing grounds, both off the coast of the U.S., off the East Coast, but also off the coast of Alaska and the Mexican Gulf, is that it's very, very sensitive to even slight changes in temperature. So with global warming, as is taking place now, these mechanisms may go away. And what that basically means is that the world's primary fishing grounds with this flushing mechanism, even along the coast of the United States, in the popular areas where people like to go swimming, take their families on the beach, well, if this flushing mechanism disappears, all of that pollution is not going to go away. It's just going to stay there. So it will impact not just the fishing grounds of and the fishermen and the fishing industry, and the impact that has on the economy. It will also be something that people in the coming decades are going to experience themselves if they take their families to the beach. So this is a very, very worrisome development.
And your report also talks a bit about the impact on the Indian Ocean and in the seas around China and Asia. Could you tell us a little bit about how this is going to impact these areas where the largest proportion of humanity lives?
Well, yes, absolutely. And one of the big concerns is that even the most optimistic projections for climate change, even the most optimistic ones, still project that we may lose actually over 80%, or even perhaps all of the world's coral reefs within the next 50, 60 years. Now, that's going to have a tremendous impact on tourism. It's going to have a tremendous impact on fisheries, because these coral reefs are like the rainforest of the ocean. And one of the real bad things about this is that because, you know, we live on land, we don't see what's happening underneath the water. At least we haven't done much of that until now. But when these areas are going to get destroyed, it's going to have a huge impact on people, and particularly in Asia. And we're talking about several billion people living directly on the coast, depending on it. And it's also actually a security issue, because not just food security, but for most of the world's impoverished populations, and we know that people that are, well, about 860 million people are actually starving, it's like three times the population of the United States. And most of these people, they depend entirely on the world's oceans for food. And what is actually then happening now, what we can see is happening, we're actually gambling with the world's food supply. And for these people, if they lose their food resources, they lose their basic livelihoods. Well, we also risk that they're going to turn their frustration on the primary polluters in the world. So, from an overall perspective, you know, it's actually about the future of all these generations, and it's about the future of a very, very large share of the world's population. And no one is going. Even people that don't live off the coast will also feel the impact of this.
Well, you raise very serious questions. Is it possible that humans will stand by and let this happen, that a whole range of commercial fisheries and a galaxy of species will just become history? What are your hopes for this report and further actions to save the sea?
Well, luckily, we know from the past that if we join forces, and if there's a strong will and intention, we can actually change the tide and actually help reduce these impacts. So I think there's an absolute clear opportunity that we can deal with these matters. However, for the first time perhaps ever in history, the time aspect is more crucial than ever. We need to reduce emissions globally, dramatically, within the next two decades. Because climate change is such a huge process to turn around. I mean, it's like a big tanker moving. It takes time to turn around. And if we do not act within the next two decades, the impacts will last for many, many, many generations, and some of the environmental impacts will last for hundreds of thousands of years. So unlike any other environmental threat that we have ever encountered before, the urgency of acting on climate change is greater than anything we've ever seen before in environmental conservation.
I'm Alex Smith, and we've been speaking with Dr. Christian Nelleman, the lead author of the UNEP report, In Dead Water. It was just released to at least 100 environment ministers at a forum in Monaco. Find it online at www.unep.org. Dr. Nelleman, thank you for talking with us today.
Well, thank you for calling it.
Check out Radio EcoShock, the planet's only all-environment radio station at www.ecoshock.org.